From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Victory of the Cross, part of his series in the book of Joshua. In chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, we find recorded two actions which Joshua performed following the defeat of the city of Ai. First, he slew the king of Ai. Then he built an altar to God on Mount Ebal. From this narrative, Dr. Cairns is extracting some important spiritual lessons. Having pointed out the connection between the fall of the heathen king and the erecting of the altar, Dr. Cairns has shown that Christ defeated Satan at Calvary. This was the first step in the Savior's triumph, the breaking of the devil's power. At his second coming, the Lord Jesus, the reverser of the curse, will cast the evil one into the lake of fire forever. Furthermore, through the victory of his cross, the Lord Jesus continues to defeat Satan by redeeming lost sinners from the captivity to the devil and by sustaining his people in their spiritual warfare. It's true that God's people cannot always understand what God is doing in their lives, but they can be certain that the Lord is still able to make the wrath of men to praise Him, and that all things do work together for good to them that love God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message. Before he comes, please listen to this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let us not imagine that the soul sleeps in insensibility. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, is the whisper of Christ to every dying saint. They sleep in Jesus, but their souls are before the throne of God, praising him day and night in his temple, singing hallelujahs to him who washed them from their sins in his blood. The body sleeps in its lonely bed of earth, beneath the coverlet of grass. But what is this sleep? The idea connected with sleep is rest, and that is the thought which the Spirit of God would convey to us. Sleep makes each night a Sabbath for the day. Sleep shuts fast the door of the soul and bids all intruders tarry for a while, that the life within may enter its summer garden of ease. The toil-worn believer quietly sleeps, as does the weary child when it slumbers on its mother's breast. Oh, happy they who die in the Lord! They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Their quiet repose shall never be broken, until God shall rouse them to give them their full reward. Guarded by angel watchers, curtained by eternal mysteries, they sleep on, the heritors of glory, till fullness of time shall bring the fullness of redemption. What an awaking shall be theirs! They were laid in their last resting place, weary and worn. But such they shall not rise. They went to their rest with the furrowed brow and the wasted features, but they wake up in beauty and glory. The shriveled seed, so destitute of form and comeliness, rises from the dust a beauteous flower. The winter of the grave gives way to the spring of redemption and the summer of glory. Blessed is death, since it, through the divine power, disrobes us of this workday garment, to clothe us with the wedding garment of incorruption. Blessed are those who sleep in Jesus.
I have been through the valley of weeping, through the valley of sorrow and pain, but the God of all comfort was with me. By his hand to uphold and sustain. So I'll follow.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
many, many things in the work of a minister that he would prefer never to have to do. There are many things that bring darkness and sorrow and heart-searching and heart-rending. But let me tell you, there's nothing in this whole world to compare with kneeling beside a poor, bound-up sinner and seeing that sinner saved. To see a person whose life has been broken by drink or drugs or immorality or shame or sin of one description or another, and see them get up from their knees a new creature, face aglow and life changed. I want to tell you, that is a privilege that's worth living for and worth dying for, because there you are seeing, through the victory of the cross, Christ triumphing over Satan. Thank God, when he saves, he keeps. And therefore, through the victory of the cross, he continues to defeat Satan in the lives of Christians. You know, when you get saved, you find out the reality of the devil's existence more than you ever knew before. You find out just how venomous he is, how vitriolic he is. You find out how persistent he is. You find out what spiritual warfare is all about once you become a Christian. You see, when the devil's got you in his hip pocket, he may not need to show his hand just as clearly as in the case of a person who's fighting him tooth and nail and who's launching great assaults upon his strongholds. Whoever launched greater assaults on the strongholds of hell in the name of the Lord Jesus than the Apostle Paul. And yet he said, "Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place." And as Paul went from place to place, he saw not only people saved, but he saw their lives completely changed. He told the Thessalonians, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." What happened? He says, "From you sounded out the word of the Lord." Here were heathens a little while ago, and now they're sounding out the word of the Lord in Macedonia and Achaia. And in every place their faith was spoken of, and it was spread abroad. He told the church of the Romans, he says to them, "Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Why? Well, Romans 6:17 tells you why. "God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." In other words, you are no longer servants of sin. You are now servants of the King of righteousness. And the changed life of the Christian is nothing but Christ triumphing over Satan. Oh, let's understand two things. Number one, that man has no claim that he's saved if he can happily live in sin. And number two, that man has no cause for defeat or despair who says, "I am too weak to overcome sin," because it's not by willpower, it is not by superior character, it is not by human effort. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the triumph of Christ that gives his people the life of victory. The Lord Jesus is received by faith when we're saved. And he's constantly being received by faith In other words, we, by faith, continue to appropriate all that is in Him. We live with our eyes on Christ. And I want to tell you, it's impossible to live with your eyes on Christ and live in sin. It's impossible. I was reading part of a sermon early this morning by one of America's greatest ever preachers, Edward Griffith. Griffin. Great, great preacher. And he was preaching way back in the 18th century on the knowledge of God. And this is the point that he was making. The purifying power of knowing God. The purifying power of knowing God. The point was very straightforward, and I found it challenging to my heart. You cannot live with a knowledge of God and live in sin. You can't do it. If you're living in sin, it's either because you are not saved, because you're backslidden, through blinding your eyes to Christ. The greatest argument for holiness is Christ. The greatest power to live a holy life is Christ. Oh, that we would understand this. The victory of the cross continues over Satan in the holy, victorious lives of Christians. And then it continues in Christ making all things to serve His purpose. We love to quote Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. That's a very comforting thought to God's people. There are times when you're in the darkness and you can't see beyond the end of your nose. You don't know what God is doing. You have to take very seriously that word of the Lord Jesus. What I do, you know not. What I'm now doing, you don't know, but you'll know hereafter. Those are hard parts of life to live. When you're going through life, and like Jacob, you tend to say, all these things are against me. When in reality, of course, if you only knew the end from the beginning, they're not against you, they're for you. All things work together for good. How often we have got to come back to that and say, Lord, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing. I don't even know what you're doing. I don't understand the purpose of God and all this. But I know that God is. And I know that all things work together for good to God's people. But too often God's people quote only that much of the verse. How do you know all things work together for good? Indeed, how do you know all things are working together? You look out in this world, and this world seems to be in chaos. That's what the evolutionary scientist wants you to believe, really. It's in chaos and utter randomness. That's what the liberal wants you to believe. That's what the humanist wants you to believe. So how on earth do we even know that all things are even working together? Never mind working together for our good. See, what I'm trying to get over to you is this is not just whistling in the dark. This comes out of a much deeper theological persuasion. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called ones according to His purpose, because whom God foreknew, He predestinated. Whom God predestinated, He called. Whom God called, He justified. Whom God justified, He glorified. I want you to see that God is saying that in Jesus Christ, He has a great purpose. And that purpose is immutable and it is unbeatable. The Lord Jesus is taking all the parts of this world and its happenings and its history. He's taking all the actions of angels and of devils, of saints and of sinners, And in his own inscrutable wisdom, he is making them all work together to serve his purpose. As he says through the psalmist, even the wrath of man will praise him. Even the bitterest hatred of his enemies will glorify him. Even the darkest passages of shame introduced by Satan and his minions will yet issue forth in the great glory of our Redeemer. He is working all things after the counsel of his will. Now, I don't always understand that will. I don't always perceive that purpose. But you see, I don't have to. I am not God. I am not omniscient. For God even to seek to explain that mighty purpose to you or me, or to the greatest intellect the world has ever known, would be, as I have said many a time from this pulpit, it would be like Albert Einstein seeking to explain his theory of relativity to a one-day-old babe. We're not fit to understand the complexity of the purpose of God, but we are fit, bless God by grace, to say we know. We know. I don't know all that our Father is doing, but I know our Father. I don't know all that our Savior is working, but I know the Savior. That's the thing that really matters. Paul told the Ephesians that God created all things by the Lord Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, listen, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a very deep verse. What I want you to understand is God's purpose is in Christ. All God is doing with angels, with devils, with the nations, with sinners, and with saints, all that God is doing, he is doing in relation to that purpose which he has in Christ. The Lord Jesus not only conquered Satan at Calvary, but in the fullness of that victory, he continues to defeat Satan in converting sinners, in the lives of his people, and in making all things serve his purpose.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.